Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. As clinicians, we spend a decade or more as trainees learning to take care of patients. When we finally start our careers, we want to build research programs, but then we find that our years of clinical training did not adequately prepare us to lead a research program. Through no fault of our own, we struggle to find mentors, and when we can't, we quit. However, clinicians hold the keys to the greatest research breakthroughs. For this reason, the Clinician Researcher Podcast exists to give academic clinicians the tools to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. Now, introducing your host, Teosi Onwemena. Welcome to the Clinician Researcher Podcast. I'm your host, Teosi Onwemena, and it is an absolute pleasure to be talking with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, I'm talking about when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Maybe the better thing to say is when stuff hits the fan. And I wanted to share because, you know, sometimes I feel like I come on and it may look as if I have everything together. You're probably not fooled. You know I don't have everything together. But this is one of those days where I just want to peel back the curtain on when it feels as if everything is not working like it's supposed to. So I just came back from vacation, and it was a great vacation. It was so awesome. And before the vacation, I had a list of things that I needed to accomplish, and everything had to work just right. And if I finished it, then I could go off all week and do nothing during my vacation. Let's not check email, just not do anything related to work. And invariably, it didn't work. I didn't finish all my work. And I did go off on the vacation anyway, because that was already scheduled. It was happening. It was a family reunion, a lot of people getting together. It wasn't really an option to cancel it. At least I chose not to. But it did mean that the weekend of the vacation starts Saturday. I don't do any work Saturday. I don't do any work Sunday. And then early Monday morning, I finalize emails that I was going to send out. And some I'm just like, you know what? I'll have to deal when I come back. And then I took off the whole week doing no email. Not that I didn't have access to the internet. I just chose not to. So what did I come back to on Monday morning? 169 emails in my inbox and counting. And a whole list of things to do, because at the end of this week, I'm going away for a conference. And so what turns out is that, I've overscheduled myself. Oh, and then there's podcasting and all the other things that I do that need to fit. Oh, and videos that I promise to give people that haven't been done yet. And one more thing, I volunteered to do a conference, to give a talk the Tuesday following my vacation. And in retrospect, I look back and I say, well, who made these decisions for you? Who made these decisions for you? And, I raise up my hand sheepishly because I did. I made all these decisions. I booked my schedule fully leading up to the vacation and then had a full schedule coming back from vacation. And really what I, in retrospect, am thinking about is how could I have paced myself better? How could I have remembered that when life throws challenges or when there are issues that come up, there's a need to adjust the schedule. I think part of the thing is that I'm really optimistic and I want to accomplish a lot. But in reality, the key is to set manageable goals that you can reach and make progress every day. I know the drill and I fall. And this is one of those situations in which I'm looking at all the things I have left to do. And I think, well, I'm not going to get to this by the end of this day. Again, my goal is very ambitious, but it's okay. It's okay as long as you recognize, or I recognize, that some things just don't get done and then you move them to the next day. And the goal is not perfection, it's forward progress. And the goal is not to be overwhelmed. One of my favorite mentors says, I don't do overwhelm. So not overwhelmed. Yes, there are a list of things that I haven't done, things that I haven't gotten to that I wish I had gotten to. I also recognize that I've bitten off more than I can chew, and it's okay. It's okay. Things are going to come out in the wash and they're going to be okay. So what are the things that I want to share specifically? Well, I'm going to share about kind of how, when, if and when you find yourself in this situation, how you can adjust your state of mind so that you're not overwhelmed. So the first thing I'm going to share is, number one, just decide that you don't do overwhelm. Just decide, I don't do overwhelm. And this is one of the favorite, actually, I have a lot of favorite things I've learned from one of my mentors, but this is one of them. You know, you get overwhelmed and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't do a single thing. And she says, hey, we don't do overwhelm. We just don't do it. We're just not going to be overwhelmed. And I love it. I love it because it's a decision I make. I don't do overwhelm. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I haven't gotten to. Yeah, you know, there's some deadlines looming and I have to decide which one or which things to prioritize. And it's okay. Now, if I did overwhelm, then I would just be overwhelmed and I would not be able to do anything. I'd be paralyzed by the fear of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do first? But if I decide I don't do overwhelm, then I have to decide that I'm going to think clearly and make choices. And make choices about what is the highest priority to me in this moment. Now, someone looking in from the outside may say, maybe that's not the highest priority for me, or maybe that shouldn't be her highest priority. But it's important because my values drive my priorities. So where there are 5 to 7 things that absolutely require my attention, I can prioritize based on my values. So number one is just decide that you're not going to do overwhelm. Yeah, people may be knocking at your door. They may yell at you and you may even be in trouble. And it's going to be okay. You're alive. You're thinking. You're creative. It's going to be okay. And the second thing is to prioritize, because you're kind of in a situation, or I'm kind of in a situation of forced prioritization. So what do I do first? I can't do everything. So what is the next most important thing to do? What are priorities I need to negotiate out of? There are a number of decisions that need to be made. But the first thing is really prioritizing according to my values. What do I value in this moment? What do I want to accomplish first? I won't share with you exactly what I've prioritized right now in this moment, but it's a family project. It's not related to my academic work, even though I'm giving a talk tomorrow. And spoiler alert, the talk is kind of already halfway done. So it's not like I need to put it together a talk from scratch. And I'm going to take a break to say this is one of the reasons why it makes sense to be focused. Not necessarily to hyper-specialize and focus on only one thing, but the more you do the same things over and over again, or grow deeper and deeper in an area of specialization, the more opportunities you have to recycle talks or build on talks you already have, or, you know, do more of what you already have so that it doesn't feel as if you're starting from scratch all over again. And so that's one of the reasons why specialization or focus matters. You can survive without it, but it's an added benefit. And at this phase of my career, it's something that I definitely need. And sometimes I've been asked to give a talk in a totally different area. And it's not that I can't. It's just that in order to get through and accomplish the things I want to accomplish, it's important to focus so that I'm not pulling in different directions. I'm really pulling in one direction. Okay, so I'm setting priorities according to my values. Number three is I need to acknowledge the things that I haven't gotten to, and let people know that things will be delayed. It will be delayed and it will be okay. Ideally, things happen sooner, but if they don't, it will be okay. And so my job is to let people know so that their expectations can be adjusted and say, hey, thank you for being patient with me. This is not going to happen exactly at the time that you want it to happen. The next thing I want to share is that we have to be careful to remove judgment. We are in an environment, especially in medicine, where people judge you all the time. They just do, because that's what people do. One of the things about judgment, if you pay close attention, is that when you judge another, then you relieve yourself of having to judge yourself, right? For example, if somebody shows up and gives a really bad talk, it's easiest to just judge them and say, my gosh, that talk sucked so bad. Harder to say, well, what can I do next time so that I don't have to be in a room with this kind of talk? I could have stood up the moment it was obvious that the talk was not going well. I could have said, well, what else can I be doing with my time? So we're all making choices. And judgment is one way to say, instead of focusing on what I could do in my power, I'm going to focus on what you've done wrong. Now, judgment is different from feedback, right? Which is different from constructive criticism, though anything that has criticism in it already doesn't feel constructive. But judgment says, oh my gosh, this sucks. And when it comes from the perspective of the person receiving the feedback, it's like, what can I do with this sucks? Like, how can I improve this sucks? It's hard to improve on this sucks. But if you say, the presentation could have been more polished because your slides were missing X, Y, Z. Ooh, that's actionable feedback. But we don't have as much of that in medicine. We have more judgment, which is, hey, this sucks. And there's not much you can do with that. But if you're going to be the kind of person who doesn't judge, don't judge yourself, don't judge others. But if you're going to give feedback that's actionable, tell them something they can actually improve upon. Say, I would have wished you had more slides on XYZ. And that's actionable because next time they give the talk, hey, they'll get more slides on XYZ. So anyway, it's important for us not to judge others because when we judge others, we are kind of removing the responsibility of giving them constructive feedback or just, you know, walking and just going somewhere else. But we are not taking action because we're focused on pointing the finger at someone else. So it's important not to judge others and it's important not to judge yourself because the energy you use to judge yourself, always ugly, not kind, like even the way your face has to contort to be able to judge yourself, you know, it's like, I for those of you listening on audio, it's hard to, you know, express the look, but you know, the look, it's a stern look and your forehead is creased, the look you have to give yourself to judge yourself. Not much creativity happens in that space. And that's why it's important not to judge yourself first and then not to judge others. Because the truth is, the harsher we judge others, it's also a sign that we judge ourselves harshly. And when we stop judging ourselves, then we stop judging others. So instead of judgment, apply feedback that is actionable. Oh, AOC, you know, next time you go on vacation, how about you don't sign up for the talk on the Tuesday following vacation where you've chosen not to check email? Like, that's really good. I will think about that next time. And that's helpful because, you know, I can't change the situation now and I don't want to negotiate out of the talk. I do want to give the talk tomorrow. It may not be the best talk that I would have given if I had a whole week to prepare. But honestly, I don't want a whole week to prepare for this talk. I'm going to give it my best, and then I want to be done with it. And it's okay. Being very clear about what I value allows me to decide how I show up in this space and for myself right now. So those are the things I have. Very few. Number one, just decide you're not going to do overwhelm. Number two, prioritize in accordance with your values. Number three, don't judge others. And thank you for being patient with me because I am taking time out to do this podcast episode. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you and to just see when things don't work, when I have the opportunity to improve. And so hopefully I'll come back and tell you how I get back on the bandwagon. Because it's one thing to fall off, and falling is okay. People fall and they get up. And the important thing is that you do get up and that you keep going. All right. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for listening to this short episode. And I look forward to talking with you again next time on the Clinician Researcher Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Clinician Researcher Podcast, where academic clinicians learn the skills to build their own research program, whether or not they have a mentor. If you found the information in this episode to be helpful, don't keep it all to yourself. Someone else needs to hear it. So take a minute right now and share it. As you share this episode, you become part of our mission to help launch a new generation of clinician researchers who make transformative discoveries that change the way we do healthcare.